Thank you, Pastor David. Well, we had a fantastic time yesterday, and I hope if you missed it, next time you got to join us. Well, good morning to you all. Let's start off with prayer, if we could. Father, we are so grateful for this moment. We thank you for your presence in our life, God. And we just ask that this morning you speak to us, God. We pray 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that your word will be profitable to us for teaching, for reproof and correction, as you prepare us and you keep us for your kingdom. We also pray that you remove all the clutter in our minds, all the clutter of this world, all the clutter of human nature, so that we can be filled with your spirit this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. Take over in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the other day I was talking to Tabs and we're just reminiscing about some of the crazy names that Africans give to their children. And there was an era where once people learned English, they started picking on these big words. And so we just started thinking of these names like jealous. Yes, limited, danger, method, trouble, have a look, try more, loneliness. And we just thought, why would anyone give their child such a name? And we've got vernacular names as well, like Ndakaite, which means what have I done? And others are Namodzenyika, which is the troubles of the country. And you'd think, after 9 months of pregnancy, that's all you could come up with? And so we just thought, maybe there was a situation, maybe there were circumstances that were happening that could have resulted in this. But all the same, when a baby or a child grows up with such a name and everyone keeps calling them danger, trouble, you can imagine what they would become. And this morning, it is just my hope that if you're one of those who've been name-called, we're going to break that today. There's nobody who was born to have low self-esteem. There was nobody who was born to be ugly and worthless. We have meaning and purpose in God's eyes. So today, I'll be speaking on the power of positive confession. And the term positive confession has been derived from the Greek word homologio, which means the same thing as to agree, to admit, to acknowledge, to declare, or to confess. And this is actually more than just positive talk of, you know, feeling good and that sort of thing. It's more than the glass is half full or half empty. It is actually the confession of the truth of the word of God. In order to understand the importance of positive confession, we need to actually go back to what the word says in Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the beginning of positive confession. This means your first step is when you accept him as your Lord and Savior through faith, and believe in your heart, you become a child of God. Now, if you are a child of God, then you have got to be confident in all the promises, not some, but all the promises that are laid out in his word, which are true. And with that confidence, our words should be in complete agreement with what God the Father has spoken to us. So when he says he knows the plans he has for us, he is reminding us to believe and trust in him so that we can affirm, profess, and confess the same thing that he has said in faith. Positive confession is when you believe that you are who God says you are. Anything else is the work of the devil who's trying to derail you. Positive confession is declaring what God has said about the outcome of your situation and standing firm in your faith until your temporary status lines up with the eternal declaration of God. This means, for those who are married, you speak life to your marriage, not always threatening to leave. You speak life to your child. You do not call them trouble. You call them joy. You call them peace. You speak the word of God to them. Words reveal what you truly believe. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And that is why it is so important to know your scripture and to speak it. Speak the scripture to every situation. Every situation, good or bad. And when you do this, your soul lines up with what you believe and agree. Instead of the symptoms in your body, instead of the negative talk that's around you, instead of the heaviness of your situation, you may not know the outcome of your situation, but God does. He has a plan. He knows the end. And because he has trusted you with that situation, believe it or not, he has trusted you with that situation. It is therefore your responsibility to speak life into it, and then it turns into favor. We actually take for granted the power or the responsibility bestowed on us, and we throw words carelessly around. I would like to encourage you this morning, just think before you speak. And take responsibility for the words you throw around. Proverbs 18 verse 20 says, "Wise words are like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." The NIV version actually says it a little bit better. "From the fruit of your mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So it's either we are speaking life or death. And there's no such thing as half dead. No, you're either dead or you're alive. I hear nowadays there's this language of, "Oh, I saw a celebrity and I died." No, not that kind of thing. You are either dead or you are alive. Or you're speaking the truth, or it's not true. True or false. There's no truth or false, halfish. No. It's either true or it's false. So when we're speaking the word of God, it's either true or it's false. And we know God is not man that he should lie. So if you're speaking the truth, then you're speaking positive. You are speaking life. You may be thinking this is easier said than done, and I get it. But the question remains, would you rather build or would you rather break? You have got to purpose in your heart, at least for the next 10 days, try this. Try to edify one another. Try to speak love. Try to speak kindness. Compliment each other. Speak the blessing of God upon each other. And surely, things might start changing for you because you start to see things the way God sees them. Proverbs 18 warns us that the words you say to others or the careless words that you say in anger, they have immense consequences that will affect you and the person you're speaking to. So much hurt has been felt by our careless, hurtful words. Churches have been destroyed. Relationships with children have been destroyed. Marriages have been destroyed because husband and wife cannot speak good to one another. It happens in the first couple of years, they all are pampering each other. After 5 years, nobody cares to encourage one another. And one of the things that erodes a marriage is when a spouse begins to speak critically to another. The things we say to and about one another can either be uplifting or encouraging. And they can bring harmony or disharmony, and resulting in hurt. It is those little critical words that lead to dissatisfaction with one another. And then everything escalates unnecessarily. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, It says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. How hard is that? Sometimes we just have to keep quiet. Some things are better left unsaid. We have to learn to be quiet. If we're not sure that what we're about to say is going to help the person or help the conversation, We should exercise wisdom. For many times, it is not wise to do much speaking at all. The Word of God teaches prudence and wisdom in regard to our speaking. Social media has destroyed people's lives. Because it has given people a platform to speak to somebody they haven't seen, and they speak without love. People are shamed. People are bullied without realizing the impact it has. And this is disgraceful. Parents, teachers, just be careful what you say to children as well. You know, when I was growing up, I'm in a family of three. Two of my sisters are so intellectual. They love to study, not me. I do it because everyone else has got a master's, so I might as well. So now that they have PhD, I don't know what I'm going to do. But they love to study. And growing up, my parents are also intellectuals, and they were teachers as well. So whenever our report cards would come, in the mail, we had to get them and line up on a Saturday, and Dad is sleeping, and then he says, read your report card. So each one would read, you know, their report cards. And my two sisters, because they always had the good grades, they didn't have a problem with it. So it was like, very good, very good, and they walk away. And then I would have to read mine. I also had good grades, by the way, but it always ended with the overall teacher's comment followed by the principal's comment. And both comments were very playful. So everything else could have been good, but the last, which was very playful, can do better. And my dad would be like, can you read it again? And, sheepishly, I would be like, very playful, you know, with tears in my eyes, very playful. And so for years, I actually owned that label, very playful. And what do you think I did? I became very playful. But mind you, I was the only one in the family who actually got awards in primary school because I was so good in my maths. But nobody cared. Nobody realized that. Everyone looked at the very playful, can do better. And so I started getting names called, like, I'm a renegade, I'm a rebel. And I owned that title. I walked in school and just owned that title. I became the most playful child there was. Going into high school, I maintained that. But then it was until my then principal said, you know, there's a problem with you here. And the problem is, you've got so much potential, but you sort of seem to enjoy playing. And I said, well, yeah, everyone says that. Every teacher says that about me. And he said, how about we change that? Every day you report to my office and we start to talk a bit more about your education and focusing. And so for a whole year of my final year, I had to report to the principal's office. And that's what it took, one person to be positive and to say to me, you can do it. Can do better is different from you can do it. So you've got to be careful with the choice of words that you use. We must learn to control our conversations and sometimes let others detect who we are. We sometimes actually let others detect who we are more than what God says we are. If God is the author of your life, is it not true that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect it until the day of Christ? We have to be confident in this truth. We have to just tell ourselves, the enemy will not talk to me louder than God will. What is in your heart determines what you speak. And angry people throw loose words around. they are explosive. So if you have anger in you, you need to realize you're just exploding everywhere you're going. Try and turn that anger into love. And maybe you will start to speak love a bit more. And if you harbor insecurity, you're always ready to defend yourself. So whatever you speak as well is in defense. If you try having peace, maybe your approach will be different as well. And the words that you speak will be peaceful. So let us choose our words, knowing fully well that we can either build or destroy. And there is no midpoint to this. There's no sort of, I was trying to say, no, you've already said it. So you cannot go back and correct and say, I was trying to say, no, you're not so ugly. No, you've already said it and it's already hurt somebody. We need to realize that even Jesus addressed this. I hope you can read that. Matthew 12, verse 34-37, he says, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. I am so glad I'm not the one who said this. It is the word of God. We shall be held accountable for every word that we speak. So it is very important for us to guard our hearts in Christ Jesus so that our mouths will speak life. Our mouths will speak the truth. And if you're trolling on social media, you got to stop. You got to stop. If you're spending so much time on social media, writing every comment that you think, there's no need to comment. Read and let it go. Just read and let it go. To those who have been on the receiving end of negative words, you also have to counter it with the word of God. This means if God calls you fearfully and wonderfully made, then no one has a right to call you ugly. As children of God, we do not confess, I can't. We actually say, I can do everything through God who gives me strength. We must not confess defeat, as God has made us more than conquerors. We cannot confess doubt, as God has given us faith. We are to speak the things of the word of God, which are true, and not get carried away quoting what men have to say to us. Many times we believe them despite what the word of God says. We spend time confessing how jobs are so difficult to find. And then you wonder why you send a million resumes and no one else responds. Circumstances are subject to change, and one of the things that can cause them to do so is the confession of the word of God to your situation. The word of God tells us to confess and talk about the things we are believing, and God will do that in our lives, and things will change for you. For instance, if we need finances, the devil will try and tell you how difficult life is, and you will begin to say things like, I guess we'll just have to declare bankruptcy since we cannot pay our bills. I don't know how we will do this. We can't make our house payment. We start to whinge about how much we don't have. Instead, we need to align our confession with the word of God. We need to confess, my God shall supply all my needs according to his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Jesus Christ. Or we can confess Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. When we confess our faith and trust in the Lord, saying, I do not know how the Lord is going to help me meet this need, but I confess he will because he cares. That's when the position changes. When you say you cannot do something, you have actually taken a position of failure before you even start. Yesterday, Jade something said, success comes before work, only in the dictionary. And sometimes that's the thing. We don't want to work, but we want the success, you know? And that's how it is. We need to realize the position that we take is important to the words that you're going to speak. When you say, I can't, you have already failed before you have begun. It's either you do not want to, rather than I can't. So better off to say, I will try, instead of I cannot do it. Now prayer that brings results is actually based on the Word of God. When we pray, we've got to learn to bring the Word of God into our prayers. And so this means when you are feeling afraid, you do not declare that you are afraid, but instead, you pray the prayer, Timothy 2:1-7. For God has not given me a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Other versions say a sound mind. We also then say, I may be overwhelmed by my circumstance, but I will not confess doubt or lack. Instead, I know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We then also say, I will not confess weakness, because the Lord is my strength and my shield. The devil has no hold over my life, because I belong to God, and I have already won a victory over my enemy, because the spirit who lives in me is greater than he that is in the world. It also means we do not confess worries and frustration, because God has given me this word, which is in 1 Peter. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. When trouble comes my way, I count it all joy. It is so difficult to have joy when you're in a difficult situation. But when you tell yourself, I will count it all joy, it means count. 1, 2, 3. You have to count it all joy. Every cloud has a silver lining. It doesn't matter how much despair there is. It doesn't matter how much it looks so difficult. There is a bit of joy in your situation. Mind you, joy is different from happiness. So sometimes we want happiness, and happiness is just a feeling. Joy is deeper than that. So we have to purpose in our hearts to count it all joy. I will not confess bondage, for the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I will not confess loneliness. Jesus said, and be sure of this, I am always with you, even at the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not confess defeat, because if God is for us, who can be against us? It is very, very important to read through your scripture and find a scripture for your situation. Nowadays, the Bibles that they're selling, they will have a whole list of, if you're worried, this is the scripture. Find one of those. Find one of those. And just know what to say. When we were learning English, our teacher was a German nun. So, German teaching English. So one of the things that we did was every year you got a new dictionary. So your first year you had a bit of a small dictionary. And we were made to read the dictionary from the first word to the last. German teaching English, like I said. So she was also learning English, basically. And one of the things that she'll do is she'll throw out a random word and then she'll say, abandon. And so you have to go in the dictionary and start looking for words that mean the same as abandon or if it's success, you start looking for synonyms, similar words to that. And then once you finish that, the next day she goes for the opposites. And so then you have to go through all the words that mean the opposite of, you know, that word. And the next year you got a different dictionary, a bit thicker, and until you got the whole thesaurus, you know. That's how we learned English. And I'm encouraging you this morning, do the same with the Word of God. You can only learn something if you purpose in your heart to do it. In the same way that I learned English is the same way I learned the Word of God. I deliberately go looking for the scripture that is relevant to my situation. Thank God for Google. There was never Google when I started learning my scriptures, so you had to read the whole Bible. But now there is Google where you can simply put your the word fear and a whole list of scriptures pop up. Memorize them, know them, and they will come in handy. And that's what you begin to speak positively to not just yourself, but even to other people. Sometimes we are so quick to judge people and call them names and label them. Oh, this one. Oh, this one. Oh. And it's only because you have a perception of who they are before you know them. Maybe you have a word that you need to give them, a positive word to encourage them. But if you don't know it, you can't say it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Let me close with this. We have a responsibility in this land, in this world, in this season, to change the atmosphere. Turn on the TV, and all you will find is negative news all the time. And I always wonder, whenever there's an earthquake, there's somebody who survives, but nobody mentions it. It's possibly one of those, oh, we forgot to say. Whenever there's an accident, there's a survivor. But everyone emphasizes so much on who's dead. There is so much negative, filthy talk around the world. And we are a part of the world. We have to change that. We have got to start speaking the truth. We have got to purpose in our hearts to speak life into situations. When everyone else around us is swearing and pulling each other down, we cannot be a part of that. We have got to then say, God, help me. What do I speak today? In your workplace, what do I speak today? You don't have to necessarily say, well, in the Bible it says. No, but you have to have the love of God in your heart in order to speak the positive words of life. And so let us make it a habit. Let us make it our mission to start to confess the word of God to the world around us. I don't want anyone telling me how bad I look. I want somebody to give me a nudge, tell me how good I look. I want someone to encourage me. And I think it's the same for all of us. Find one or two people that you speak positively to. Your children. They might be giving you trouble. Mine do. But I cannot tell them that they are trouble. I cannot do that. I have got to tell them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. I have to tell them they're work in progress. Because I am too. You may be sitting here this morning and people have just thrown negative words at you and you're feeling low and down. We are going to pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be thinking very lowly of yourself. Your self-esteem has gone. You do not feel beautiful anymore. You do not feel of any value at all. Circumstances have derailed you from the truth of the Word of God. You're full of fear You feel of doubt. You feel lonely. You feel bound. This morning, God wants to challenge you and say, I am here. I love you. I have a purpose for you. And if it's any of you here, just raise your hand and I'll see who I'm praying with. Everyone else with your eyes closed. Let me encourage you this morning. God sees you. God loves you. He doesn't mean for anyone to hurt you. His words should speak louder than anyone's words to you this morning. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If God is for us, who can be against us? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that no one else can speak to us but you. Close our ears, Lord, to the ugly words that people throw at us. Close our hearts, Lord, that we may not receive that negative talk. And fill our hearts with your Spirit. Renew our minds, O God. Renew our minds, Lord, with your word. That we can be strong in you again. We can be revived in you again, knowing fully well that you have got our back. That you will provide our needs. That, Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear. That Almighty God, you will supply all our needs. And Father, I can never say this more than enough. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Nobody can tell us any different. We declare your word this morning, God. That we will profess life from our tongues. Fill our hearts, God, with your love, so that out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouth will speak. Fill us, Almighty God, with your peace. Fill us, Almighty God, with your joy. Fill us with forgiveness. Because, Father, when we are angry and hurting, that's all we speak. We refuse to speak evil. We refuse, Almighty God, to hurt others. We refuse to break others. We want to build only. But we cannot do it alone. We need you this morning. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning, God, that as we go away today, we might just dive into your word and find a word for every situation and circumstance in our life. That, Lord, we will begin to speak the truth of the word of God to everything around us. We pray, Almighty God, that our souls will line up with your word, that it will be true only. We live for you, not for the world. The devil is a liar. He comes to steal and destroy only. And we refuse to let him have a hold on us. Because we now know, O God, that where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And so we stand on that truth, knowing fully well that we are more than conquerors. We are the heads and not the tails. Above always and ever beneath. That wherever we go, we are blessed. Wherever we set our foot, Lord, we are blessed. We're blessed when we go in and blessed when we walk out. We thank you, Almighty God, that, Lord, even when we seek for employment, God, we find favor in your eyes. That, Lord, the things that we seek in the flesh may not be the things that you need to give us in your spirit. And so we ask that you purposefully align us, God, with your will, so that we find joy and satisfaction in all the things that we do and not in our carnal nature. Because our human nature will lead us astray. Our human nature will let us build castles in the air. And so we will find that, Lord, when we rely on ourselves, we are always downtrodden. Today we rely on you and the power of your grace, the power of your spirit who resides in us all the time. Thank you, Jesus. You may be here as well, and you may be wondering, I really need to start speaking positive. I really need to, but I don't know this God. I want a bit of this God. Like we said in Romans, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, he will come into your heart this morning. You may have never prayed the prayer before to invite God into your heart. If there's anyone with everyone's head bowed down again and every eye closed, if you've never received God as your Lord and Savior, would like to give you this opportunity this morning to get to know him. Get to know his word, because he loves you. He loves and cares for every one of us. If you're here, just raise your hand and I'll know who we're praying with. Thank you. If there's anyone else, thank you. As I pray this prayer, ask that you repeat it, and everyone else will pray with us. And for those who have raised their hands, God loves you. God loves you. You are not wicked. You're not horrible. You're not terrible. God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life, and he wants to forgive you this morning. Let us pray. Dear God, I recognize I'm a sinner, and I ask for forgiveness. Forgive me for breaking other people with the words of my mouth. Forgive me for everything else that I've done to myself. And I ask you, God, to come into my heart today. I confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And I ask you to stay with me all the days of my life. Amen. Thank you, God.